Recently, a legacy media outlet in New Zealand went after one of the only academic doctors in a public institution who has spoken out about COVID-19 policies in our country. The piece is an egregious attempt at character assassination, and many New Zealanders sent me the story highlighting the new lows that some media outlets are sinking to. As commentators like Eric Weinstein have pointed out, we are in a disturbing era where mainstream media outlets and institutions are using their platforms to go after individuals. Somewhere along the way, journalists have forgotten that the honour was in keeping governments and institutions in check, not promoting their opinions and going after individuals who question the policymakers. Anyway, today you're going to see me take my gloves off and let some counterpunches fly. On guard.
You could not be a journalist if you didn't bow down in front of medical science. So if, as a journalist, you write an article that is mildly critical of a single vaccine, it's probably the end of your career.
Let's start by investigating the journalist who is credited with putting together this piece, which is clearly aimed at character assassination. Charlie Mitchell is his name, and according to his profile, he writes primarily about the environment, climate change, and policy issues. Now, Charlie works for Stuff.co.nz, which has been struggling in recent years. In 2020, Stuff sold for $1, apparently because of the difficulties in New Zealand's media sector, where COVID-19's impact has slashed revenues. We'll soon see how they are now milking the COVID cash cow. Charlie's story also comes with an impassioned plea. He wants to help fight deadly misinformation and invites readers to donate money to Stuff. If you are a New Zealander, you'll know the claim that Stuff is committed to independent reporting based on science and facts is a real stretch. At the start of New Zealand's lockdown last year, the government strategically unveiled a $50 million rescue fund for the struggling media platforms. Nicely timed, and surely that wouldn't influence their subsequent reporting of government actions, right? So the donation plea is a bit rich. Most readers have lost money to Stuff involuntarily, as the government pledged them $2.37 million of taxpayers' money. Stuff also receives money to promote the experimental COVID shots under the guise that it is countering vaccine misinformation. You'll see why this is important soon. So the headline states that epidemiologist Dr. Simon Thornley has become an outcast of his profession. I guess that Charlie hasn't done much investigating and chooses to ignore all the experts in the world who agree with Dr. Thornley. Sadly, Charlie's appeals to authority are peppered throughout the article, and because he is unable to contribute his own critical analysis, he simply parrots his chosen authority and believes the science is settled.
When public health officials, who are not scientists in any sense of the word, said that we need to run to the edge of the cliff and jump off, and you politicians, your job is to round up the population so we can all jump off together, they just did what they were told.
He does mention the Great Barrington Declaration, but omits to tell his readers that this has been signed by tens of thousands of doctors, including epidemiologists. The link provided disingenuously takes you to the Wikipedia page about the declaration rather than the declaration itself. Charlie explains that some groups have harshly criticized the strategy and provides a link to a group outlining their ideas, but they make no direct mention of the Great Barrington Declaration at all. Also backfiring on his argument is that far less healthcare professionals and scientists have signed this so-called counter-memorandum than the Great Barrington Declaration that Dr. Thornley has signed. Charlie, I'm afraid your headline that he's an outcast of his profession is an outright lie. Charlie states that New Zealand's COVID-19 response became the envy of the world because ignoring constitutional laws in response to phantom menaces has got to be good for everyone. Even the WHO came around in October 2020 when Dr. David Nabarro announced, "The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted, but by and large, we'd rather not do it." Lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer. In fact, 2 months after the WHO announcement, a study came out of Stanford comparing lockdown strategies in 10 countries and concluded that highly restrictive measures were ineffective and likely damaging. Exactly what Dr. Thornley has been warning about.
Every journalist failed us because they just harassed the politicians into saying, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you doing more testing? Why don't you have a more strict lockdown? It's totally depressing to have two entire classes of people discredit themselves so utterly.
Charlie has a shot at humor when he describes Simon as the archetypal academic. Yeah, right. Most academics in public institutions don't have the kind of mettle required to disagree with the government during full-blown coronamania. Charlie continues his comedy routine when he is aghast that Plan B, a group Simon contributes to, has a Facebook page with some comments describing a fraudulent pandemic led by figures such as Bill Gates and corrupt politicians and scientists. That's probably closer to the mark than your reporting, Charlie. There are many aspects of the medical pharmaceutical industry that you might want to investigate. Spoiler alert, fraud and corruption have been rampant for quite some time. Charlie says that Thornley's views could embolden anti-vaccination groups, which could be scary because people shouldn't be trusted to make their own decisions. Charlie's not too worried though, as he explains public health officials seldom fall for this sort of thing. He inadvertently refers us to a paper that demonstrates that policymakers don't need properly controlled clinical trials to establish scientific dogma. He goes on to assure us that the COVID shot has gone through standard clinical trial processes and provides a link to this article. But wait, Charlie's fallen for a scam. That is a pharma promotional site backed by a marketing company. Is that really where we should be sourcing our information? Here's where you need to go, Charlie. If you click on the protocol link from the marketing puff piece, it takes you here. I think that is part of the reason I suspect Dr. Thornley has stated he has concerns about the safe and effective messaging. It is an ongoing experimental trial, and by definition, there is no long-term safety data. Charlie likes to quote Professor Michael Baker in the article. Now, we could dedicate a whole video to Professor Baker, who sits on the COVID advisory panel for the Ministry of Health. He is an advocate of lockdowns and compulsory measures against populations. Charlie reports that Baker and others became fixtures in the mainstream media and were showered with formal and informal accolades. For Charlie, this is a good thing because experts who are praised by the government and the media must be correct. Baker often appears in the media in New Zealand, and many of his claims are not verifiable in the literature. In this article, it's no different, as he states, there are numerous papers in high-quality journals for all the leading vaccines that have been trialled. There's consistently high effectiveness against symptomatic illness, particularly severe illness and death. I'm not aware of all these papers that Baker is referring to. In fact, this article that appeared in The Lancet in April 2021 reviewed all the leading vaccines and stated the studies were not designed to conclude on prevention of hospitalization, severe disease or death, or on prevention of infection and transmission potential. Embarrassingly for Baker and the government, this paper also estimates that the 95% effective Pfizer claim, they parrot, translates to an estimated absolute risk reduction of just 0.84% in the community. Even on their own terms, this thing is a lemon. It looks like vaccine hesitancy can lead to medical literacy. Then Charlie tells us that Dr. Thornley is wrong because the global death toll from COVID-19 is in the millions. He omits the fact that this is the death count attributed to COVID, with the diagnostic criteria being that of a positive PCR test only and a clear departure from how deaths are usually classified in many regions. Charlie simply accepts the numbers he is given with no critical analysis. I've covered these problems in my videos, What is a COVID-19 Case? And The Truth About Excess Mortality. Charlie claims that Dr. Thornley stated the infection fatality rate for COVID-19 was possibly as low as 0.03%. I contacted Simon personally to see if this was true, and this was the response. I was quoting a range from a pre-publication study from one of the world's most cited epidemiologists, in which the range was from 0.02% to 0.86%, with a median of 0.26%. This was the best and most exhaustive evidence of the time. The writer, Mitchell, chose to deliberately misrepresent the data I presented by presenting the minimum value. Indeed, if Charlie had done his homework, he could have gone to the Bulletin of the World Health Organization to see that the estimated IFR was updated in October 2020 with a paper stating most locations probably have an infection fatality rate less than 0.2%. And keep in mind, I'm dealing with them on their own terms here. These figures are based on an assumption that COVID-19 is a specific clinical entity that is reliably diagnosed by PCR testing. Charlie could also have mentioned that in the UK, COVID-19 was no longer considered a high consequence infectious disease as of the 19th of March 2020, as the UK government website states that this was because several features have now changed. In particular, more information is available about mortality rates, low overall. In any case, Michael Baker has been terrifying New Zealanders with his mortality estimates for over a year. He appeared on TV on the 23rd of March 2020 and stated that COVID
would infect most New Zealanders and there would be tens of thousands of people dying from this.
With regards to the severe lockdown of our country, he commented that
and I think it was so brilliantly delivered by the government. I mean, they've shown incredible leadership on this.
Were you one of the advisors?
Yeah, this is the policy we've been recommending to the government for a while.
I see. Michael Baker saved the day. According to Michael Baker, Charlie says that dramatic scenes coming out of India are evidence that COVID-19 is rampaging out of control. He doesn't put any mortality figures in perspective for us, but suggests that images from the region are all that's required. Dr. Thornley quite reasonably replied that, "I find it hard to trust at face value stories of devastation in parts of the world, that this is simply COVID. All this devastation is attributable to COVID. It's simply not that clear." Now, as you know, my position is that the only epidemic in play is a PCR pandemic with reclassification of existing illnesses. But even people who work with the premise that there is a novel pathogen circulating have called out the silly reporting on India. Here's a few clips from Ivor Cumming's recent video, and I'll put the link in the description.
But what's happening in India cannot be used to terrify the endemic countries, and yet it is. So India may move up in rates over the next year or so, we shall see, but nothing we do will change that. And remember that India stayed almost clear for over a year with no lockdowns and no masks, even though they had the virus present. We have a situation where the media now no longer does investigative reporting. They no longer challenge the narrative like the media ought to. They are reinforcing remorselessly an existing narrative that we already know, and they are ramming it down our throats.
We also cover the problem of sensationalized corona stories in Chapter 12 of Virus Mania, where journalists think that a few photos of stacked coffins is all you need to prove a killer virus is on the loose. Remember the scenes of hazmat suits and stories of previously healthy people dropping in the streets of Wuhan and Italy. And now we have India. Strange that this has never eventuated in other parts of the world. Perhaps the award for outstanding hubris should go to Professor Rodney Jackson from the University of Auckland. He participated in the chance to smear Dr. Thornley and was quoted as saying, "Of the 200 to 300 health professionals in New Zealand who I would say have got the training and expertise to comment on COVID, Simon stands alone. He's an extreme outlier." We reached out to Jackson to ask for clarification about who is in the special club that can comment on COVID-19. He replied, "Mainly public health medicine specialists with sufficient training and experience across medicine, epidemiology, and public health. About 200. There are also a few others in New Zealand with a relevant mix of these skills and the necessary experience who are not qualified public health medicine specialists. He was asked why only the people in his designated club are capable of commenting on COVID. Shouldn't anyone be allowed to perform their own analysis? But things took a nasty turn when Jackson was invited to make further comments. He wrote, "You hold positions contrary to those of the overwhelming majority of experts in the field, and from my experience, people who are taking such positions are not open to meaningful debate with experts." Despite not being relevant, he said he had never heard of me, and after a quick look at one of my videos stated, "She clearly doesn't meet my criteria." What an interesting display from a self-appointed COVID expert. Jackson has gone on record saying that people who take a position contrary to him and the people he approves of are not open to meaningful debate, and he's the one that decides who can have a seat at the table. But what exactly has Jackson contributed with his analysis of COVID-19? Not very much, it seems. On the 22nd of September 2020, he wrote an opinion piece in the New Zealand Herald stating that his calculations suggest that the infection fatality proportion for COVID-19 in Spain is somewhere between 1 in 200, 0.5%, and 1 in 50, 2%, with the best estimate around the middle, about 1%. He states he has similar calculations for other countries. Like Charlie, he blindly accepts the case numbers and omits the issue of PCR and what exactly a COVID-19 case is or how death certificates are being classified. In any case, even on their own terms, his estimates are about 5 times higher than that of the updated WHO bulletin. Jackson makes occasional comments in the media, but aside from that, it is unclear why he would consider himself an expert on COVID. Additionally, his ResearchGate page suggests he spends most of his time on cardiovascular research. Dr. Thornley, on the other hand, has spent much of the last year researching as many areas of the COVID situation as he can and engages the public in an open way. When I've contacted him, he is always happy to discuss material and share new ideas. You can see that Professor Jackson doesn't consider a fellow doctor like myself being worthy of an opinion on COVID, so you can imagine he thinks the same of you. And this is where he underestimates people. I've had correspondence with engineers, dentists, mathematicians, nurses, and inquisitive lay people who have done their own research and shared information that I would have never seen otherwise. I'd have to say, I suspect many of them would run rings around self-proclaimed experts such as Professor Jackson. But I don't think he'd acknowledge that others outside his club have been far more diligent researching PCR, excess mortality, and virology, and don't simply accept case numbers on face value. Most of these government-promoted figures panicked at the start of the COVID situation and recommended measures that were far out of proportion to any threat. Nonsensical policies have been carried out, and the collateral damage has been so appalling that policymakers are quick to blame the COVID boogeyman to distract from the fact it was them who caused the harm. Instead of settling down, they are now claiming that the only way out is by administering an experimental shot to the population. So, what did Dr. Simon Thornley do wrong? He questioned what was going on and is concerned that his fellow citizens are being harmed by government policies. He testified in a courtroom that the COVID threat being sold by policymakers such as Ashley Bloomfield and Michael Baker has been exaggerated, and the rushing out of an experimental injection should be urgently checked. And the following week, we see an all-out hit piece against one of the most courageous doctors in New Zealand. As you know, I often like to finish on a bright note, and I think that this article will not actually have the impact that Charlie and his handlers think. Because of how desperate it's become, it may actually serve to wake more people up that they are being fed propaganda by state-funded media. New Zealand's Prime Minister shocked a few people when she openly admitted this is what they are doing.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
An incestuous circle of self-congratulating experts appointed by the government and then promoted by government-funded media. The COVID narrative is so shaky that they need to control it at all costs and smear the likes of Dr. Simon Thornley, who dare question it. As always, I leave it up to you guys to make up your own mind. Someone who has made up their own mind that all is not well with the COVID response and vaccine narrative is award-winning New Zealand author Mary Hobbs. She has written an open letter in response to Stuff's article, pointing out to Charlie that he has conveniently ignored the suffering caused by overblown policies. Her own research and previous experience as a registered nurse has also inspired her to issue her own warning about the COVID injections. However, I love that she remains hopeful there is still time for enlightenment. I encourage you to read her letter and I'll put it in the link below.
And we also need to make sure that when public health officials come back again saying, oh, this is 2022 and we have another disease, we need politicians who are going to say no effing way.
To help sustain my channel in this time of censorship, please support my work on Subscribestar. Link is in the description.